أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Today inshallah from Abu Ash-Shamail al-Muhammadiyya, Babu ما جاء في ذكر خاتم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The chapter regarding ما جاء في ذكر خاتم رسول الله, what has been reported about خاتم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the ring of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi. Most of the narrations in this, or all of the narrations in this chapter, either discussed the nature of the ring, what is it made of, the composition of the ring, is it gold, is it silver, is it iron, is it copper, what material is the ring of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi, what is it made of, and then what are its descriptions, is it a ring without a gem, that is without a gemstone on it, or is it a ring with a gemstone, or what, how is it, its composition and look, how is it. Most of the narrations here are connected to these two issues. So inshallah, the first hadith we read about that is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. We usually like to mention the kunas of the Sahaba. Somebody should remind us the kunya of Anas ibn Malik.
Abu Hamza
radiyallahu anhu. So this hadith is a hadith of Abu Hamza radiyallahu anhu, Anas ibn Malik, khadim Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala kana khatamu nabiy min wariqin wa kana fussuhu habashiyan. And Anas ibn Malik, from our own copy, our own Mukhtasar of Shaykh al-Albani, that hadith will be hadith 71. But for the rest of us, the hadith will be hadith 84. Anas ibn Malik said, Naam, some 88, well, the Nuskha of Sayyid Imran, Darul Hadith, has hadith 84. Sayyid Imran, if you have Sayyid Imran, I use Shaykh al-Albani's Mukhtasar, and I attend usually Sayyid Imran's Tahqiq. Most of the times it used to coincide. I don't know what happened. Maybe I didn't check the number today. What number do you have? Darul Ulum, Darul Kutub al-Ilmiya, Beirut. What's the number? 84? 88? Okay. Anyway, our Asul is 71, which is the Mukhtasar of Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah. It says on Anas ibn Malik, قال كان خاتم النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من وارق وكان فصه حبشيا. He said كان خاتم النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, the ring of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, من وارق, is of وارق, silver. If you say وارق, we are talking about what? Leaves, a leaflet. So but this is what وارق, that is what silver. Fibba. So كان خاتم النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من وارق, the fibba of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, خاتم, the ring of the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام, is of what? Silver. وكان فصه حبشيا, and its fus, its naqsh. Again, the fus or naqsh is, if you have a ring, it has a head where you have some gemstones around it. The gemstone could be gold, it could be silver, it could be any other beautiful gemstone. What do you call it? The fus. You understand what it is now? The ring. On the ring, there is a gemstone attached to the ring. Usually round or square or diagonal, or it has a name in English. It has a name in English. It's not the head. Fus. But you know what it means now anyway from my description. If you have a ring, there's a head around it. There's a head. The ring goes around the finger. Then there's a head wherein you have something that's shiny. That head is the fus. It's also called what? Naqsh. So it says, وَكَانَ فُسُّهُ حَبَشِيًّا. It's fus, that is the gemstone. The gem that comes on that ring is from Habash. That is, the scholars say Habashiyan, Fassuhu Habashiyan, or Fassil Habashi, as is said by Abu Mu'az Tariq ibn Iwadillah in his book Al-Mu'jam Al-Mufassar. He said, when you say Fossil Habashi, that what you mean is onyx or chalcedony. He said it is what he called Al-Aqiq. He said it's a kind of a mineral. If you check the name, what it means, Aqiq in Arabic, it is onyx, O-N-Y-X. It's the name of a mineral. It's a kind of a mineral. It's shiny, it's a gemstone, very shiny, and it's usually dark with white stripes, and it's used to be found in Habasha. That is, it used to be found in those days in Abyssinia. So they used to call it what? Fossil Habashi. That is the gemstone that is found in what? In Abyssinia. Some of the scholars said that it is called Fossil Habashi because of the dark part of it. You know, Habashi is also sometimes used to mean what? A black person or something that is Al-Aswadi. So in either of the two cases, whether because it was found in Abyssinia in those days or because it contains some, it's usually black with some whitish stripes on it, in whichever of the cases, the fact remains that it is made of that mineral called onyx. It is called onyx or chalcedony. Check the dictionary, you'll see what this means. If you have an opportunity to check an encyclopedia, you'll see it. It's very beautiful. You'll be looking at it as if you are seeing the whitish tint in a dark, you know, cloudy mineral. Very beautiful. So he used to, you can imagine that on a silver ring, the ring is silver and then the gemstone is dark with whitish stripes. How will it look like? It's going to look very beautiful, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that was why the companions used to look at it. In one of the hadiths, one of the companions said, it's as if I'm even seeing it on his hands. We'll get to that hadith. Imagine it, you find it very beautiful. So كان خاتم النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, the ring of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, من ورق, is from what, or is of what? Silver. وكان فصه حبشيا, and its head, that is the gemstone on that ring, is what? Onyx or chalcedony. In this hadith is clear. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم had a ring from silver. If you want to cost what that ring will cost today, you will have at least 10,000 to 15,000 naira to have the ring, if not more than that. I don't know what these things cost because I've never used them before. I've never used a silver ring before, and I've never bought one before. Yes, the Prophet himself did not buy, alayhi salatu salam, until the 6th to 7th century, 6th to 7th year of Hijrah. He did not use this unless it's at about 6th to 7th year of Hijrah that he started using it. Imam al-Hafiz al-Iraqi established that in his Sharh al-Shama'il, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was not using the ring all the time. It was not that all the time he was known to have a ring, no. He took to the ring, and why he started using the ring, we mention it in the hadith. So I don't have a ring, and I have not had a reason to have a ring, because alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to use the ring as a seal for his letters. He used to use the ring as a seal for his letters. Because it was said, look, if you don't have a seal on your letters, those kings will not, will come to the hadith, they will not respect your writings and your letters. They will not consider it official. So he took a ring. So he took a ring so that he could seal his letters with them, to make them official. I don't have a letter I want to seal now. I'm not President Jonathan. Neither am I Amir al-Mu'mineen Abu Bakr Sa'd, number 3 or number 4. So those are the people, when they make writings, NTA should announce the moon they have a seal. They want to announce something to the rest of the Muslims so that whoever sees it will know that this is the seal of Amir al-Mu'mineen. So, but if you cost the ring, if you have a reason to cost the ring, that is not to say you cannot take up a ring. The hadith itself shows that it is permissible. It's just telling us why he did it, which has not come upon some of us, and we don't hope to be Amir al-Mu'min. So he had a ring from silver, alayhi salatu wasalam. The second hadith, the next hadith, is the hadith. The reason why I was talking about that is, if a malam has a ring now and it is made from silver, people say it's not a zahid, it's not doing zuhud. They say, kai malam, you are taking silver. Subhanallah, subhanallah. It's not just the silver alone. this will have to cost the onyx and the chalcedony that was the first on the ring itself today, you know how much it will cost. But he did that, alayhi salatu wasalam, because he had it. So if you have it, if you can take up a silver ring, take it up and change your intention that you are not using it to show that you have wealth, but you want to use it because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to use a silver ring, so that you'll be having reward for using a ring of silver. And if you can get onyx too, good. Those who sell gemstones will get it for you. You just tell your goldsmith or silversmith, whatever you like to call it, just put it on it. If you like, get chalcedony and onyx, so that it looks exactly as what you have read from Ash-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, with the intention that you are doing it because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do it. People used to mention many sunan of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but usually they mention the sides of his leaving some things. They don't like to mention the side of his doing some things. And these are some of what he did, alayhi salatu wa sallam. So fairness demands that, as you mentioned that he left something, you should also mention what he did, alayhi salam, and not consider those who do it as being extravagant. It is from sunnah. Like when we describe his dresses, you will see that he was not wearing the dress people would think that wali you should wear. You know what I mean? People should think that wali you should wear only white. Yes, he said now it's from the best, but he had other colors that he preferred wearing. He would wear all the time. They were beautiful, blue, green. Is it not? We read it in Shammai. Designs, embroidery, and all of that. Some of them were imported from Yemen, from some other parts of the world. And he would wear them. So it's not wrong if you see a shadda that's imported from, where is the best place shadda is made? Let not somebody say, Ustaz Kima, even you are using shadda from, say, the Prophet used alayhi salatu wasalam to wear clothes that were imported from outside Arabia. And the people knew it when he wore it, alayhi salatu wasalam. So let's not make our religion look as if it's a religion of backwardness. If you have to be a Muslim, you have to be dirty. No, that is not our religion. If you have to be a malam, you have to be somebody who wears dirty things. No, it is not Islam. It is not Islam. If you have to be a malam, you have to live in a dirty house. You have to, all your things have to be rickety. La, inna Allah tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyib. Bal iza kul huwa lil ladina amanu fil hayat. The second hadith is a hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. He says, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اتخذ خاتما من فضة فكان يختم به ولا يلبسه. عن ابن عمر رضي الله عنه. For the rest of us, with Sayyid Imran's tahqiq, it is hadith 85. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم اتخذ خاتما من فضة فَكَانَ يَخْتِمُ بِهِ وَلَا يَلْبَسُهُ. It says the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam اتَّخَذَ خَاتَمًا. He took to the use of a what? A ring, min fiddatin, made of silver, alayhi salatu. فَكَانَ يَخْتِمُ بِهِ. So he used to seal his right with it. وَلَا يَلْبَسُهُ. And he would not wear it. Ulama say, وَلَا يَلْبَسُهُ دَائِمًا. You will not see it on his hands at all times. He didn't used to wear it every time. You see a ring on his hand. Every time he has a ring. So, وَلَا يَلْبَسُهُ. So the ulama say it could mean لَا يَلْبَسُهُ دَائِمًا. If he was not wearing all the time, ring on his hands. وَلَا يَلْبَسُهُ, that is لَا يَلْبَسُهُ هَذَا الَّذِي اتَّخَذَ مِنْ فِضَّةٍ. This particular one, he will not always wear it. Do we understand? He either not always wear rings, generally speaking, at all times, or that this particular one, he did not wear it at all times, such that sometimes he will wear this particular one, sometimes he will wear another kind that we read that he had, and sometimes he will not wear a ring at all. So that's why it was said, فَكَانَ يَخْتِمُ بِهِ. He used the ring to make his seal on his writings, وَلَا يَلْبَسُهُ. And he would not wear it da'iman at all times, as the ulama have explained. The third hadith is a hadith again of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu Abu Hamza. It says, on Anas ibn Malik qala kana khatamun nabiyyi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam min fiddatin fassuhu minhu. This fos, you see fosco, it could be fosu, fisu, and fosu. All is correct. You could say fosu, fisu, fosu. They are all correct. كان خاتم النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من فضة. The ring of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم was made of what? Silver. فصه, that is فص الخاتم, that is the gem, عليكم السلام, the gemstone on the ring is what? منه. It's also from what? So it means he had two kinds. There is the one that is فص is حبشي, and there is the one that is فص is what? من فضة. We understand. There's one he said وَكَانَ فُصُّهُ حَبَشِيًا, and here he said وَكَانَ فُصُّهُ مِنْ فِبَّةٍ. Do you get it? So that's why we were saying that yes, those rings were of two kinds. The one that was of fibber, of the head, is of silver like the ring, and the one that, yes, the ring is of silver but the head is of what? Another mineral called what? Onyx or chalcedon. So this is the make, what the ring of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was made of. But there is a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim which showed that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam at a point in time wore a ring made of gold. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma said anna rasulallahi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam istan'a khataman min zahabin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam made a ring for himself of gold. فكان يجعل فصه في باطن كفه. يجعل فصه, he used to make the fos, the gemstone, في باطن كفه, inside his palm. Do you understand? So we, most people wear the gemstone outside. Cool? لكن هو كان يجعل فصه في باطن كفه. He would wear the gemstone inside the palm, not on the side of the knuckles. So it says إِذَا لَبِسَهُ, it says فَصَنَعَ النَّاسِ. So when they saw him doing that, wearing a ring, they wore it too. Look at the companions. Because they saw him wearing a ring, the Prophet is now wearing a ring of gold. And he would put the gemstone head, the head of it, inside his palm. They started doing so too. رضي الله عنه. ثم إنه جلس على المنبر فنزعه. So one day he sat on the minbar and he removed it. فقال إني كنت ألبس هذا الخاتم وأجعل فصه من داخل. So I used to wear this gold, this خاتم, this ring, and I used to put its head inside my palm. It says فرمى به, then he threw it away, عليه الصلاة والسلام. ثم قال, and then said والله لا ألبسه أبدا, I swear by Allah I will never wear it again. فنبذ الناس خواتمهم. So the companions too removed their own that they had made, like his own, they threw it away. رضي الله عنه. الإمام البغوي رحمه الله in شرح السنة, he said this hadith makes us understand that it used to be permissible to wear golden rings for men, but this hadith is evidence that it became impermissible, not allowed later, for men to wear what? Golden rings. Why are we saying for men? Because we have the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib and other hadith that showed that those rings were those golden ornaments were permissible for women. Otherwise, the ruling would have involved them too. But there are other ahadith that shows that women could use golden, specified golden ornaments. Not all kinds of golden ornaments. But this hadith showed that, generally speaking, men can't use any other, any golden ornaments. But it showed that women too can't use. So right now, do we say there are some kinds of golden ornaments that women can use? Because there are narrations that shows that there are some kinds of golden ornaments that women can use. Do you understand? This hadith that he treated away involves both men and women. But then, how did we say it is not permissible for men? because of this hadith and other ahadith. So why are we exempting the women? Because there are other ahadith that exempted women from the prohibition of use of golden ornaments. Even when they are prohibited to use a golden ornament that's circular, like a ring. He said he is golden, his ring, alayhi salatu salam, is made of silver, round his finger, and the first, the head, the gemstone is either silver again or what? Onyx or chalcedony. So he had those types. But women can't take a golden ring that's encircled around their hand. It's also prohibited. What they can do is take a silver ring that goes around the hand and then make the head to be what? Gold. It's permissible for women. But men, both we can't do. We can't take the gold to go around our hands, our finger. Neither can we make the head to be of what? Gold. But women, they could make gold the head and then silver to do what? To go around the finger. This is because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited circular golden ornaments for women. So it means, yes, it is permissible for them, but there are still some kinds of it that is prohibited for them. So a woman can take a chain that's golden, that goes round her neck. No, she can take silver or any other thing to go round the neck, but she will have the, what is it called?
The pendant.
MashaAllah. The pendant will be of what? Gold. That's something. She can't take an earring that's circular, that will be such that the gold will go round. No, she can't do it. But she can take any other thing to go around, while what falls down from the ear will be what? Gold. Women are prohibited. It's a very strong area of contest amongst the scholars. But dear brothers, the most correct thing based on evidence is that it is prohibited for them to use circular golden ornaments. And there are many ahadith on that. There is a hadith of Usaid ibn Abi Usaid that he said the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, he reported that the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam that man sarrahu an yuhalliqa habibahu bihalqatin min nar falyuhalliqahu bihalqatin min zahabin. He mentioned the same thing for Tuq, he mentioned the same thing for Suwar and all of that, for necklace, for leg band, and for all of that. So you see all those things, that is, he said alayhi salatu wasalam, I think that hadith is the hadith of Abu Huraira, that whoever gets delight, or whoever will be delighted to encircle his beloved with the halqatin min nar, with a ring from the fire, let him do so with a golden ring in the world. If you would like to have on the day of Qiyamah your wife that you are buying golden rings for, you buy a golden ring for her and she will use that golden ring in this dunya. If you would like to give her a golden ring from the fire on the day of Qiyamah, buy a golden ring for her. If you like to get her a necklace from the fire on the day of Qiyamah, buy a golden necklace for her. This hadith, some of the scholars say that it is not authentic, but the most authentic thing about that hadith is that it is authentic. The hadith of Usaid ibn Abi Usaid. The reason why I mention Usaid ibn Abi Usaid, because he's the one that the matter, the discourse is upon, whether he's a reliable reporter or not. But what is correct is that he's a reliable reporter and the hadith is authentic. There is also the hadith of Thawban, Mawla Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith of Fatima, that one day she came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she came to show him a golden, is it necklace, that Ali ibn Abi Talib gave to her as a gift. Look at Ali ibn Abi Talib gave his wife a golden necklace. So if you see ustaz give his wife golden necklace, they'll say, small ustaz. Even they too, they are buying golden necklace. Ali ibn Abi Talib gave Fatima radiallahu anha a golden necklace. And she came to show it to her father. Father, see my necklace. His eyes changed, alayhi salam. And he said to her, do you want the people to say that Fatima, the daughter of the messenger, is also using a necklace of fire? So she removed it and sold it. In another hadith, it showed that she sold it and bought a slave with it. Freedom. That is, she sold that ring and bought a slave for freedom. Do you understand? With the money from that. That's why the ulama now say, okay, if you have before, you can sell it and do something beneficial with the money. So don't think that they are saying go and throw away your golden rings. If you are a woman, you have a golden ring that's circular. So what will we do now? You can sell it and make benefits with the proceeds from it. So Fatima radiallahu anha removed it. And the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Alhamdulillah alladhi najja Fatimata minan nar. Praise be to Allah who has saved Fatima from the fire. The point of reference in that hadith is that that golden ornament was what? A necklace. A necklace is a what? Secular ornament. It follows that hadith of Usaid ibn Abi Usaid. So people say there is ijma that women can use all of that. Yes, some scholars have said that, like Al-Imam al-Bayhaqi, Imam al-Nawawi and others. But others say, look, that ijma is gairu mun'akid. That ijma, to say there is a consensus, is gairu mun'akid. How do I translate gairu mun'akid? Gairu mun'akid is unestablished. You are saying there is a consensus when there is actually difference. You are saying there is a consensus, but there are reports that people differed. That is one. Secondly, there, you have a hadith that shows the opposite of that consensus, so there cannot be a consensus. You can't say there is a consensus and there is a hadith that shows the opposite of the consensus. So who is who is agreeing? Agreeing upon what? Agreeing in contradiction to an established hadith or to establish a hadith. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu had a daughter. It is from this hadith. People used to say Abu Huraira didn't have a wife. How will he have a daughter if he does not have a wife? This hadith I want to mention now is one of the evidences that he had a wife radiallahu anhu. And at that time it is not known, because he is muhaddith, alim, hafiz al-ummah. How will he be with all his ulum that he will not marry? And he was stupendously rich after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Huraira. So how would he not have married radiallahu anhu? So he married. This hadith is evidence that he married and he had a daughter. This daughter, or one of his daughters, was married to Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, Sayyid al-Tabi'in. Their neighbors used to abuse her that you don't use golden ornaments. The daughter of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Their neighbors used to say to her, you are not wearing golden ornaments. So she went and told her father, the neighbors, everybody, they are abusing me that I'm not wearing golden ornaments. And he said to her radiallahu anhu, La talbisi al-zahab. Don't wear gold. Don't wear golden rings. فَإِنِّي أَخْشَى عَلَيْكِ اللَّهَبْ. You know lahab? Lahab, the fire. Because I fear that you'll be burnt in the fire. Abu Huraira said that to his daughter. فَلَا تَلْبِسِ الزَّهَبْ فَإِنِّي أَخْشَى عَلَيْكِ اللَّهَبْ. The hadith is authentic. Abu Huraira has this opinion, and then you are coming to say that it's a consensus that it is permissible to wear.
No.
It's not possible that the consensus is mun'akid. How many consensus have been mentioned? Last week I was telling us that a brother was telling me there is consensus that women are not permissible to sit down in the masjid if they are menstruating. I think there is not any consensus. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, Imam al-Baghawi, many of the scholars, Shafi'i and some others are saying, Zayd ibn Thabit, they are saying that it is permissible for a woman who is menstruating to sit in the mosque. They are saying that it's ijma. Ijma without Ahmad bin Hanbal?
No.
And that's why he said, rahimahullah, من ادعى الإجماع فهو كاذب وما يدريه لعل الناس اختلفوا. Anybody who claims ijma on any issue is lying. What it means is that many a time people claim ijma on an issue, but there is no ijma on it. Maybe he does not know that people had differed. That's why I saying that there is an ijma. So whenever there is an ijma cited, find out, are there difference? Are there people differing? And why are they differing on all of that? Before you say there is ijma mun'akid, that is ijma that is established and that must not be contradicted. So the most correct thing, dear brothers, is that the women are not permitted to wear those rings, round, gold, round, or necklace, gold, round, jewel, or leg lace, whatever they call it, or bangles, round, like that, gold, all true? No. They could make part of it gold, part of it silver, but what goes round to be gold? No, it's prohibited. And when they wear those things, they should pay the zakah on it. That's another thing that makes wearing those gold and silver ornaments for women permissible. The weight, if it goes on the nisab for zakah, they will remove zakah from it. We are trying to say the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to use a golden ring, but he threw it away and prohibited it for men. He permitted women to use golden ornaments, but there are narrations that showed that use of golden, circular golden ornaments is what is prohibited. If you want to read more about this issue, read Adab al-Zifaf of Sheikh Al-Albani. He has another rad, another book that was not published mustaqillan as a book, but it's over 118 pages on this issue. Because a Sheikh Ismail Al-Ansari wrote a recitation against Sheikh Al-Albani on the issue, on the use of golden ornaments. So he wrote a refutation for Sheikh Ismail Al-Ansari, but that refutation was not published as a book. But it is contained in the book Hayatul Albani wa Sana'ul Ulama'i Alayhi. I have it. If you want it, I give it. I can give you that aspect of this issue. Many people discuss this issue, but they did not, I will always say it, most of the people with whom we have discussed this issue, you find that they've not really studied the matter well. Or that the level of objectivity while studying it is low. If you are studying an issue upon which there is a strong difference, the first thing you must entertain in within your mind is that, look, you go where the evidence shows that you should go. But if you start having from the very beginning in your mind that how should somebody say such a thing, you may make statements that you will not know that it is a fact, or you may know that it is a fact but you will not accept it that it is a fact, because you started as a biased person. That's why Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he will always say that لا تقتدي قبل أن تستدل بدليل فتضل بضلال. Don't make up your mind before you start looking for evidence. You will go astray. You already have an opinion you want to defend. You are now looking for evidence. Whatever evidence you see, even if it's against what you have in mind, you'll be ascribing it to support what you are. That's why you say, لا تقتدي قبل أن تستدل. Don't have an opinion before you start looking for evidences. For تدل, you may get astray in the process. My dear brothers, I'm very convinced that the most correct thing is that the use of secular golden ornaments is prohibited for women. Any person, I have always said this, even in many public programs, if you have any evidence to show otherwise, please show me, I will take it. But me, I will be ready to take my own evidence in too. The Imam Rahimahullah was too exceptional in establishing the evidence that, look, it is prohibited for women to use circular golden ornaments. From among those who had discussed this hadith with some little attention was Sheikh Mustafa Al-Adawi. He has a book in his book, Jami'ul Ahkam al-Nisa, but he wrote it as a book, again, separate. If you look at his work, there are a lot of, you pick a lot of things in the work. You say, no, this is not the case. This man is correct. The same thing with Amr Abdul Munim Salim. He has it in his book Adabul Zifaf. At the end of the book. But please make effort if you want to know the truth about this matter to be patient and open and ilmi in your approach. Not necessarily saying who said what, but looking at the weight of the evidence of each party, you'll be convinced inshallah that the most correct thing is that secular golden ornaments for women is not permissible. So, but for men it's not permissible generally speaking gold, but silver is permissible for us, so there is no issue about that. So what we have just discussed is what the ring of the Prophet is made of and how the ring used to be. Sometimes the ring used to be, the gemstone used to be made of what? Onyx or chalcedony. And sometimes it used to be made of what? Silver. The next hadith for us, hadith 74. And for the rest of us, hadith 78. But your hadith 78, 87, 88 and 89 is combined in hadith 74 for us. So don't be scared. You know our own is Mukhtasar Ko. So hadith is one single hadith of Anas ibn Malik that was reported by Qatada ibn Di'ama as-Sadusi Ko. Look at it, you have asanid in your own. It's one single hadith. So Sheikh al-Albani, because he's doing Mukhtasar, he connected them together instead of giving each of them a number. I mean, that's from the benefits of being a summary of the book. So you have hadith 87, 88 and 89 combined in our own hadith 74. It says, "An Anas ibn Malik in Qala, Anas ibn Malik, Abu Hamza, radiyallahu anhu. قال كان نقش خاتم النبي كان نقش خاتم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم محمد سطر ورسول سطر والله سطر كان نقش خاتم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم محمد سطر ورسول سطر والله كان نقش خاتم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم محمد سطر ورسول سطر والله سطر. Anas ibn Malik said the نقش of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. That fasu or fasu or it had something on it. It had an engravement. So the engravement on the ring of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Do we understand? Something that is engraved on that gemstone. What is it? Muhammadun satrun. Muhammad, one line. Wa rasulun satrun. Rasul, one line. Wallahu satrun, and Allah, one line. So what is that? Muhammadun Rasulullah. So Muhammad Rasulullah. He said kana nakshu khatami Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam Muhammadun satrun wa rasulun satrun wallahu satrun. The engravement on the ring of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had what? Muhammadun on a line, Rasulun on another line, and Allahu on another line. So it becomes Muhammadun Rasulullah. Very nice hadith. وَفِي طَرِيكٍ أُخْرَى. On another chain of narration, the same hadith. You see the difference is from those who collected from Qatada ibn Di'ama as hadith. Anna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We are connecting in your own hadith 87 and 89 now. The one we just read is 88. Cool?
Yeah.
In your own, you'll be connecting 87 and 89. They are all single hadith. From Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أراد أن يكتب إلى كسرى وقيصر والنجاشي فقيل له إنهم لا يقبلون كتابا إلا بخاتم فصاغ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم خاتما حلقته فضة ونقش فيه محمد رسول الله فكأني أنظر إلى بياضه في كفه. أنس بن مالك سيد رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أراد أن يكتب إلى كسرى وقيصر والنجاشي فقيل له إنهم لا يقبلون كتابا إلا بخاتم فصاغ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم خاتما حلقته فضة وناقش فيه محمد رسول الله فكأني أنظر إلى بياضه في كفه عليه الصلاة والسلام. He has connected the two hadith code. So he said أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, أراد أن يكتب إلى كسرى. He wanted to write to Kisra. They were Muluk. The Kisra is the king, the name of the king of the Abyssinian, of the Persians, Kisra. And Caesar, Caesar, is the name for the Roman kings. And Najashi is the name, like you have, they call it Emir here, or you have Serki. Serki does not necessarily mean the name of a person, ko? Oh, Miangwa, let me come down. We have Miangwa, ko? Miangwa is not the name of a single person. It's an office that a person occupies. The same thing with Kisra and Kaisar and Najashi. But these are kings of civilizations. So when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam arada an yakutuba ila Kisra, he wanted to write to the Kisra and Caesar, Caesar, and Al-Najashi of Abyssinia, فَكِيلَ لَهُ, it was said to him. The scholars asked, who said that to him? But there are no established question about who said to the Prophet Muhammad. But it was said to him that, إِنَّهُمْ هَؤُلَىٰ, those people, لَا يَكْبَلُونَ كِتَابًا إِلَّا بِخَاتَمٍ, those people will not accept a letter except there is a seal on it. There is a seal. You know a seal? A seal of authority. It shows this letter is coming from a place of authority. In modern times, companies have company, what they call company seal. Co? Is this stamp? It's different from the stamp. You can stamp and seal. When you hear stamp and seal, the document is going. Stamp and seal. So they have a seal. Nigeria has a seal as a country. When they seal it, wherever it goes, it's a genuine document. It's usually carrying the coat of arms, cool? The seal of Nigeria. Federal prosecutors have it. But I'm sure the one that will be with Jonathan will be a more powerful seal. It's one of the instruments of power. Seal. Seal. It's one of the instruments of power. Who has it has power amongst those who are binded by that seal. Sometimes people will try to steal it in those days because they know that when they steal it, they've stolen the power and authority of the rulership. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, it was said, look, if you don't put a seal, they won't accept it. Okay, we'll do it as they understand. Fasaga Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi. So the Prophet made khataman, a ring, alayhi salatu wasalam, halqatuhu fiddatun. What goes round? Halqa. what goes around it, not the head. You forgot we described it, cool?
Yeah.
Oh, you remember, we described it. That what goes around his finger is what? Is silver. So he said, halqatuhu, what goes around it, apart from the gemstone, is what? Silver. But sometimes, the gemstone on it could be what? Silver. And it could be what? Other than silver. Do you understand?
Yeah.
He said, the halqa is silver, wa naqasha fihi, and he engraves on that, meaning he engraves on the gemstone. Are you with me? He engraved on the gemstone. What did he engrave? Muhammadun Rasulullah. Faka'anni anzuru ila bayadihi fi kaffihi. It's as if I'm looking at, you know, sometimes when you describe something you have seen before, you revision or you re-envision it when you are describing it, as if you are just seeing it today. So he said, فَكَأَنِّي أَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ بَيَاضِهِ فِي كَفِّهِ, as if I'm looking at the whiteness of it on his hand. You know, it's silver. Silver will look whitish. So that's why he says bayab, white. Silver will look whitish. So that's why he said bayab. كَأَنِّي أَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ بَيَاضِهِ فِي كَفِّهِ عَلَيْهِ سَلَاتِ, as if I'm looking at the white thing on his hands. So it had Muhammadun Satrun wa Rasulun Satrun wa Allahu Satrun. So it has Muhammadun Rasulullah. The next hadith. For us, hadith 75. An Anasin anna Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam kana iza dakhala al-khala نَزَعَ خَاتَمَهُ عن أنس رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم for the rest of us, حديث 90, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كان إذا دخل الخلاء نزع خاتمه. That hadith is حديث ضعيف. The problem in that hadith is that Ibn Jurayj, Abdul Malik ibn Abdul Aziz, Mudallis, waqad an'ana an shaykhihi, Ibn Shihabin. Have you seen it? Ibn Jurayj and Ibn Shihab. Ibn Jurayj is the person the scholars of hadith refer to as what? Mudallis. His name is Abdul Malik ibn Abdul Aziz, Ibn Jurayj. He's a big imam, but he does what they call Mudallis. I won't explain today what that list is. So the hadith is a weak hadith. Some people have used this hadith because what it means is that anna nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam idha dakhala al-khala naza'a khatamahu. When he enters a khala, or when he goes for a khala. Khala does not necessarily mean a toilet, because the khala could be an open place. Wherever a person uses to defecate or evacuate his bowels is referred to as what? Khala. Whether it's in the forest, or it's in the desert, or it's in a room in an enclosure. So please, our own toilet too could be what? Khala. Cool? And the khala could be anywhere in the desert or forest too. Wherever it's used for the evacuation of our bowels, it's referred to as what? Khala. So this hadith says, whenever the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam does that, he will remove his ring. Why? Because they say it contains the name of Allah. You know, he said Muhammadun Rasulullah is on it. It has Allah's name. So people use this hadith as evidence that if you are going to a bathroom, don't wear or take along anything that carries the name of Allah. But this hadith is weak. It cannot be used as evidence. But let's look at what is on the footnotes by Sheikh Al-Albani. It's very beneficial. قلت شيخ الألباني says I said وقال أبو داود الإمام أبو داود السجستاني said حديث منكر. This hadith is منكر. The next in the level of hadith after hadith موضوع is called what? حديث منكر. What does it mean? I won't explain today, but just know that it's the next worst level of hadith. After fabricated, you have what? Munkar. So munkar is what? Da'if jidda. There are three ways a hadith can be munkar. So but please, don't let's go down there today. So he says it's hadithun munkar. What called? Sadaqah. Sheikh al-Albani said, and what Imam Abu Dawud said is what? Is correct. وَإِنْ صَحَّحَهُ الْمُؤَلِّفُ. Even when Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi had called this hadith authentic. وَغَيْرُهُ كَمَا هُوَ مُقَرَّرٌ فِي كُتُبِ التَّخْرِيجِ. And others, as it is known in the books of referencing hadith. وَبَيَّنْتُهُ فِي الْإِرْوَى. But I have explained it in Irwaul Galil. وَضَعِيفْ سُنَنْ أَبِي دَاوْدْ. And ضَعِيفْ سُنَنْ أَبِي دَاوْدْ. Check these two books. These of us who are usually interested in the matters of Takhrij, you will see he gave extensive discussion on this hadith, especially in Da'if Abi Dawud. وَقَدْ رَوَى أَبْنُ سَعْدِ. Al-Imam Ibn Sa'd rahimahullah has reported a hadith بسند صحيح with an authentic chain أن الحسن البصري, that Al-Imam Hassan al-Basri سُئِلَ عَنِ الرَّجْلِ يَكُونُ فِي خَاتَمِهِ يكون في خاتمه اسم من أسماء الله. That he had from his ring, on his ring, a name from the names of Allah. فيدخل به الخلاء. And such a man enters the bathroom or toilet with it, with a ring. They are asking Hassan al-Basri about a man who has a ring that's containing one of the names of Allah, and then he enters a bathroom with it. What is the ruling of that? فَقَالَ الْإِمَامُ حَسْنُ الْبَصْرِ said, أَوَلَمْ يَكُنْ فِي خَاتَمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ آيَةٌ مِّنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Didn't the ring of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, did it not have a verse from the verses of the Quran? يعني محمد رسول الله. This narration seems to say that, aside, despite the fact that he had that, he was entering the toilet with it. Are you with me? They are asking, is it, can a man do that? He's saying, but the Prophet's ring had that. What will he be saying with that? Will he be saying that it is permissible or it is not permissible? Eh? It's permissible. After all, the Prophet's ring had Muhammad Rasulullah, so why are you asking me that question? But Al-Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah in Ayl al-Awtar said many of the scholars discourage its usage and only permit it in the cases of Barura. There's an issue here in this case of Hassan al-Basri, because Al-Imam Hassan al-Basri is Tabi'i and he is talking about the ring of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What kind of a hadith is that? Huh? Who are tabi'i? Yaskur shay'an anil rasul. La, are you not in an anwa'il inkita? Huh? Maqtu, la. هو يسنده إلى الرسول كيف تقول مكتوب إذا كان من كلامه هو ولم يسنده إلى الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام إذا تقول مكتوب. هذا مرسل. لكن there is something left again. حديث مرسل, that is what a tabi'i said prophet did. You know the tabi'i did not meet the prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. So it is called حديث مرسل. It's a kind of انقطاع. Do you understand? So you have come closer. But there is something again. Hadithun mursalun. صحيح إلى مرسله. إذا حديث مرسل because it said the isnad is صحيح, so the isnad is صحيح is authentic up to Hasan al-Basri al-Mursil, فهو حديث مرسل صحيح إلى مرسله. It's a hadith صحيح up to the person who did what? إرسال. So that's another thing we will say again. ما حكمه؟ ما حكم الحديث المرسل الصحيح؟ مرسل صحيح. What ما حكمه؟ My brothers, tell me, you should know these ones now. What is the hukm of a hadith that is mursal but sahih? Ila mursilihi, like this one. Da'if. Wa mursal Hasan al-Basri karrih. The marasil, the hadith of Imam al-Basri that he reports like this, they are weak. So don't say Prophet used to do it, because it is too weak. وَإِنْ صَحَّ إِلَىٰ مُرْسِلِهِ. Despite the fact that it is sahih up to the person who did irsal. Look at it. You see now, these matters have gone beyond Arabic language. If you know Arabic language, some of these things we are talking, you will not know it if you have not learned it. It's another science of knowledge completely. A tabi'i said Prophet did something. He did not see Prophet. He could have heard from a weak reporter. He could have heard from an authentic reporter, from a reliable reporter. This possibility makes us not say that it is from the Prophet, not establish that it is from the Prophet, because we can't be sure where did he get it from. But there is a general ruling on those kind of narrations that Hasan al-Basri himself reports. The scholars of hadith say when he does that, Karih, it is like wind. What does that mean? Without value, it does not have value. Meaning that it is what? Weak and unreliable. لأنه يسنده كان رسول يفعل كذا. So the impact of saying all of what we have said about the report of Hasan al-Basri is to show that we don't have evidence to say that the Prophet used to wear his ring into his kala. One. Two. The hadith we read that the Prophet used to remove his ring when he goes into his kala, it's also weak. But the scholars have said generally that it's discouraged to wear whatever contains Allah's name or the verses of the Quran into the toilet. Stop at that. Don't ascribe it to the Prophet Muhammad. That is the implication of all of what we have said. Ascribe it to the scholars. And one of whom you can ascribe it is Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. Al-Imam ibn Hani, rahimahullah, one of the students of Ahmad bin Hanbal, he says, سَأَلْتُهُ عَنِ الرَّجْلِ يعني سَأَلْتُ أَحْمَدَ عَنِ الرَّجْلِ يَدْكُلِ الْخَلَىٰ وَمَعَهُ الدَّرَاهِمِ. I asked Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal about a man who goes into a toilet or a bathroom. When you sit in the gathering of learning and you lean your side to face the person, you side the person talking, you will not be following the sunnah. Yes, you will not be, you face the person talking to you. You'll be opposing Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And it shows, I don't care. And also when you are resting your back, imagine somebody talking, you are fighting him like this and you are resting your back. What are you doing? It's wrong by anywhere you take it. You don't do it. Allah will remove the barakah in what you are doing. Let's not be doing it again. The ulama will say, Al-ilmu bila adabi, kannari bila hatabi. Learning without following the adab of learning is like fire without fuel. Will it burn? Light a match is now, it will burn. You see fire, Abi? But will it burn? When does it take it to get extinguished? Less than seconds. In fact, it will burn your hand if you are not careful. So follow adab. Adab is from the deen. That's why he said at the end of that hadith, Ataakum yu'allimukum deenakum. Very, very, very important. Very important. People are learning now. It's not that people are not learning. Are people not learning? Day and night. People are learning. Even in mundane sciences. How do you explain young boys of 20, 25, 30 years who are beating the mates of their father? How do you explain that? And they are learning. They are learning from these same people. What baraka are they expecting? They say they are demanding for which right? Which right are they demanding for? Which right? Where is the right? You go and flog somebody, the mate of your father. You say you are waiting for a right, even if he's younger than you. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal one day was seen holding the reins of the horse of Imam Abu Ubaid Qasim ibn Salam. He said, oh, you Imam Ahmad, you are holding the reins of Qasim ibn Salam. He said, yes, he has taught me before. He said, man allamani harfan sirtu lahu abdan. Anyone who teaches me one word like this, I become his slave. So that is when they go and carry cane and start flogging their teachers, disturb the whole school. They say they are fighting for their rights. They will never get the rights. They don't know Allah. The same thing, even those who... And you see, these are the people that are expected to be models in the community. They say they went to higher institution. They went to higher institution. What did they learn from that higher institution? How to insult people? How to insult the mates of their parents? And beat them up? Close down the school. It's common, it's everywhere. They say you don't want us to fight for our right. Be fighting for the right. See whether you will get it. In fact, you will get worse from it. Because when you destroy school property, they will tell you before you come to the school, write a letter of apology and bring 5,000 naira. So what did you get? Maybe they tell you to pay a fee of 10,000 naira. You say, we no go give. They say, pay 15,000. What will you be paying? When you pay 5,000 plus the 10,000, you say, you no go pay before. You will not pay it begging. Koba. You pay it begging. What got lost? Why did students begin to do that today? No adab with their teachers. No adab with knowledge itself. Because you are not respecting the teacher because he's your teacher. You are respecting the knowledge that he has. So if you don't do that, Allah will remove the barakah from the ulum. It will not make any benefit. Look at people now. Are there no doctors, PhD everywhere? What have they done? Today, Sanu is saying the newspaper that the professors have failed as ministers of education. Have they passed? Don't be biased. I'm not pro-Sanu. But think about the reasonability. They are talking about a reality. So if you want to oppose them based on evidence that they have passed. Do we understand? They say they have failed. The only sensible thing you can say is that, look, this is evidence that they have passed. How can somebody be teaching in a class, is standing, the students are sitting down? Which knowledge is that? If it's a 2 hours class, the lecturer will stand for 2 hours. On his feet. And the students say they need to pay him salary. Isn't that not what they will say? Is this the Abdul Mal Ali? If we bring all those things to Ulumu Sharia, that's why most of even those people, Sheikh Al-Albani was saying, Rahimahullah, in one of his audios, Now most of those people who say they are even doctors of Islamic sciences, go and look at them. What have they doctored? They have not doctored anything. Because the way they launched the Islam is not different from the way people have learned how to do carpentry and how to do nothing. And all those things too. Sul adab ma'al ulama wal ilm itself is there. So what have they gotten? You see somebody, I know somebody who is a professor of Arabic and Islamic studies. He cannot read Quran in Arabic. Professor. If he's quoting Quran, you see Allah says in Quran chapter 25 verse 4, I will tell you English. That's Allah said that English. He says Quran and Arabian. He can't read Quran in Arabic. I tell you this. And there are those who can't read Sahih Bukhari. They can't read, and they are professors. I tell you, two have come to my mind that I'm talking now. So where is the barakah in the ulum? If we leave these things, لَوْ تَرَكْتُمْ سُنَّةَ نَبِيِّكُمْ لَدَلَّلْتُمْ. These are the things we have to come back to. To go back to where we are coming from. He said that when the Prophet is addressing the call, everybody keep quiet. As if there's a bird on the head of each person that he does not want the bird to fly away. Is that when he will back him like this? And then the holding is there? It will never happen. You will be facing the companion who came into the masjid and the Prophet was talking, he met him talking. He tied his camel and went into the masjid. The Prophet was talking about the signs of the last hour. This companion said the Prophet was mentioning the issues one after the other until the last hour when Allah will finish creation and end creation. He said, so he heard that, hey, who has this camel? Oh, the camel is going. He left the masjid and went. Before he came back, the Prophet had finished the talk. He said, how I wish I left the camel to be taken away so that I can hear what the Prophet said. Is that when he's talking, they do side like this? La. These things, we don't say it, people don't say it, but we will say it. We'd rather not do any class than leave the adab of the learning, because it's like you're wasting your time. You'll be wasting your time if you don't make the adab with knowledge itself. Scholars used to say many things about issues like this. So the best of what we can say is the response that Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal gave to Ibn Hani, that arju alla yakuna bihi ba'sun. I feel there's no problem with that. Innama kuriha an yakuna fihi ismullah. What the matter is that if you could go into a toilet with a coin, you know those coins, they used to have Arabic inscriptions. They said the only thing that the scholars have discouraged, have disliked, is going into those toilets with things that have the name of Allah. أو أن يكون مكتوبا عليه كل هو الله أحد. Or something that has a verse of the Quran written on it. فَيُكْرَهُ أَنْ يُدْقَلَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الْخَلَى. So they dislike that you bring the name of Allah. Just dislike. Many of the scholars mention this dislike, and it's from making some ta'zim. But don't say prophet say when you mention this issue. That's just what we are saying. No, the scholars mention that it is makruh. One of those who said that is who? Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. But don't say that prophet say or prophet used to remove his ring. That hadith is not authentic. Look for another evidence. The last hadith, inshallah, is from Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. That ittakhadha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallama. Somebody went to one of the scholars with his father. Some of the brothers were there. Nobody here was there. But there were five other people there with me. This person, he didn't know that the person was watching him. He will sit down stretch his leg, he will fold it, he will do like this, he will do like that, he will rest like, he will do like this. So when they were discussing, they got to the issue of making adab with knowledge. The Sheikh now said, like this boy, he has been stretching his leg, doing like this, doing like that, doing like this, resting his head on the pillow since you came here. And his father starts the way a person who is learning starts. Then he will do like this or like that. He hated to be told. He didn't like it because people don't say things like that. And his father is a learned person too, at least to his own level, who explain what he knows to people in the masjid. So he was asking, if your father is teaching you, is this how you sit down? Like this? And you are here, your father is seated well, you are sitting, stretching your legs, doing like this. Let's turn the pillow. You won't do that inside your house, on your bed. Not here. He got very annoyed, but he couldn't say anything there, he left. You know, behind, you say, those malams, they are very tough people. Yes, they are tough. If you want to do it, do. If you don't want to do it, stay in your father's house with your jahal there. Keep your jahal with you. Keep your ignorance with you there. But if you must do it, you must do it well. I think one of the basic things the modern day education lacks is moral. Morality is gone. Where is the morality when some of the lecturers, this one, I can give you many examples. Don't tell me, you can quote me anywhere on this. Lecturers leak out exam papers. Where is morality? Where is the morality? Who will teach the morality? Who will teach the morality? Who will teach the morality? Education. So where is the education? Is education just 1 plus 1 is equal to 2? No. Is that all about education? Please, sorry, me, I'm not a teacher. I'm not teaching in any Boko institution. But I know that education is far much more than 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. Am I correct or wrong? Education is more than 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. If education is 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, a student can just come into the class and tell you, uncle, let us do boxing. You say, do boxing. You say, yes. If you don't do boxing, I'll slap you. In some schools, that children will be expelled. That child will be expelled. That this one, they didn't train him. Why did they not say, but he has not failed 1 plus 1 is equal to 2? So education, nurturing, upbringing is far much more than 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. In fact, what endears education, knowledge, is the character and well-mannered nature that comes around the education. They beautify 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. Otherwise, it will lack beauty. It will be followed with coarseness and rashness. No matter how learned the person is, the most respected people in the institutions of learning are not the most coarse people. Am I correct? Students don't like coarse teachers. Those they like are those who bring them closer and try to make them understand. They don't ever do any harm to them, even if they hold them responsible in exam halls. Because these days, students hate those who hold them responsible in examination halls. They don't like them. Whenever the children, they curse them, no go better for you. You no go do this. Your children no go better for them. As you spoil my future, your children, their future too go spoil. But if it is a lecturer that they know is of high morality, they will just look at him like this and go. Is it not so? This was my own observation in the university. You have lecturers. They won't fight you, they won't beat you. But when you see them, you revere them, you respect them because of the way they behave. So learning and culture. Which culture did they teach them there? And go to southeast higher institutions and see what's happening there. They say they go to higher institution. Which higher institution did they go to? What did they learn from there? Even in Boko, they don't know it. if you group 90% of those who graduate from universities and polytechnics these days, I'm telling you, maybe only 60-70% are able to write a letter correctly. Letter. I have my own personal experiences with people who are core members. If some of them write something, you'll be looking for a cane. I tell you, you'll be asking them, which university did you attend? You know when somebody starts asking you, come, which university did you attend? You know there is a problem. If it is issue of exceptional brilliance, he will not ask you which university you attend. He will ask other people, that guy, which university did he attend? But when he's asking you, come, where did you graduate from? You should know there's a problem. So there is a lot of problems now with learning. A lot of problems with learning. The whole procedure, the whole system needs to be overhauled. People think that it's only political problems we have. People think that because they want one kind. No, it does not end there. There are some people coming behind. Some people are coming behind. That would be worse. Some people are being bred to be worse than what you are seeing now. So the matter will go back to what Imam al-Albani would say, rahimahullah, at-tafsiyah to at-tarbiyah. At-tafsiyah, you purify what's on the ground. At-tarbiyah, you educate, you purify, you nurture upon goodness. The one that's on the ground that's not very good, you start trying to get it to be good in the sense of the word. Ibn Umar said radiallahu anhu that ittakhadha Rasulullah khataman min wariqin. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a ring from silver. Fakana fi yadihi. It used to be on his hand. Thumma kana fi yadi Abi Bakrin. Then it used to be in the hands of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Wa yadi Umar. And then in the hands of Umar. Thumma kana fi yadi Uthman. And it used to be later in the hands of Uthman ibn Affan. These are the leaders, and that's why it says it was a seal. If it was something he was using to dress up himself, they will not be passing it from one ruler of the Muslims to the other. Thumma kana fi yadi Uthman. Then it used to be in the hands of Uthman ibn Affan. Hatta waqa'a fi bi'ri aris. Until it fell into the aris well. It's a well called Aris in Medina or in Quba. It was near the Quba Masjid. That well was said to be owned by a Jew whose name was what? Aris. That is why it was called what? Bi'iru Aris. So that ring fell into that well in the time of Uthman ibn Affan, 6 years after his rule, or 6 years into his rule, 6 years after he became the ruler. Some of the scholars say that is a sign that, look, things, confusion will start from Uthman ibn Affan. The confusion actually started. And it will not end until the day of Qiyamah. When they kill Uthman, the whole Ummah is still suffering from the blood of Uthman. Till today. So some scholars said, well, from the thing that showed that is that this seal fell into the well. Naqshuhu Muhammadun Rasulullah. What was engraved on that ring, don't forget, is the seal of the Prophet. It's what? Muhammadun Satrun, Rasulun Satrun, Allahu Satrun. It fell into the well. But it did not fall directly from the hands of Uthman ibn Affan. You know, the Islamic empire got wide. So because the empire got wide, there was need for delegation of power. Uthman gave it to a man called Mu'aykib al-Ansari, one of the Ansar. So whenever a letter was written, it would be taken to Mu'aykib for what? For sealing. So it fell from the hand of Mu'aykib. So what this meant is that it fell into the well during the reign of Uthman ibn Affan. And then the fitna started. May Allah save us from Satan. So inshallah, we'll continue in the next class about other issues connected to the ring of the Prophet. Today we just discussed how the ring is, what is it made of, and what is engraved on the ring, and what ended the ring. The ring ended where? In Bi'r al-Aris. If there are 1, 2, 3 questions, inshallah, we'll try to give a response. Next week, we read which hand, which finger, and where, and all that. Did he used to put the ring and all of that? Inshallah. Alayka as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I don't know. I'll give you an answer next week, inshallah. Yeah? For you. For us, it's not late, inshallah. The ulama used to say, man ghaba khaba. Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri. So, man ghaba khaba. The one who is absent is a loser. If you are absent, you lose. So, he did not used to repeat what he had said in a class if some people were not there. They say, but so and so, and say, yes, man ghaba khaba. The one who absent himself loses. So if you are there, if you are not there, there is nothing you can do. Now, alayka salam. Alayhi salatu wassalam. What we have is in the hadith of Ibn Umar that the head of it will be inside his palm, not outside here. And you know, most of the rings that we see people make today, they don't make a head on it. It is women that make a head. It is women that make a gem. Why the men too should make? Maybe I should look for one now. Well, let's see, we are Almadiri. Where are we going to find money to buy silver rings? That's the issue. Doctor Yalahine. Where will Almadiri find money? But Allah can provide for him. I think one should use the ring and use it well. Cool? Inshallah, when we finish the bab, I will look for a ring. Even if lacking la albasuhu daiman. Even if I will not wear it at all times. But I will wear it for some time. Leave it. I should look for a silver. Silver ring. Doesn't mean that if you see me with a ring, you think that if I have one silver, I could look for another thing, no other than silver. But I think I would like silver so that I will be following the sunnah. Inshallah, I'll try. I'll beg Allah to make it easy. Allah, make it easy for me. So use a silver ring. And I'll look for onyx. The best place to do that is out of the country. But if there are people who really know these minerals by their names and qualities, then you can do. Because you tell most of these people selling all these ornaments now, onyx, they don't know what's onyx. Chalcedony, they don't know it. So you have to look for people who deal in gemstones. You can tell them to help you engrave Muhammad and Rasulullah. But they may still leave it blank. Since he engraved his own for his seals, so you may leave your own blank. But it's good to look for a silver one. It will be very nice. You have silver and you have black, white, onyx head on it. And you wear a white jalabiya, put white cap, wear a white shimag, follow the hadith. You have a shoe that has two straps on it. Inshallah. Now look for one nice car. Enter inside it. Yes, the Prophet's camel was about the best camel in Medina. It was the best, not about. All of them is in the Sunnah. Alayka salam wa rahmatullah. Go back, Abba.
Apart from
The mass grave is prohibited. Use of gold. Yes, تشييد المساجد. ما أمر to be تشييد المساجد. I've not been ordered to build the masjid tall and beautify them. It's from the science of the last hour. Yes, beautifying the masjids with gold, silver and all of that. There are some of the ulama from the Sabiqun who used to warn the people against that. That's why what you have seen in Makkah, Medina today. Many scholars still used to speak against it. So that you see it in Makkah and Medina does not mean that it is correct. The Prophet said, I have not been ordered to do that. And that's why his masjid was a masjid where a goat is passing by. Goat. You remember the hadith on Sutra? A goat was passing by, he would look forward, alayhi salatu salam. His masjid, what about the hadith of Sa'd, who was injured on the day of Ghazwatul Ahzab on his neck? You forget the hadith? And he was sleeping in the masjid and a goat came and climbed it. You remember the hadith? We read the hadith now. Goat entered the masjid. Goat. The masjid of the best of men. Don't say it was because in his time. In his time too, other kings too were designing everywhere they were. But at those times, read what the Byzantine Empire did for their kings in their worship places and see. Even in Abyssinia here, read in those times what were they doing compared to what the Prophet was doing, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's why we can't wear shoes into our masjid today. I'm not saying go and destroy your own mosque.
For the
you can say, but if you build a mosque, you build it like that. Make it as simple as possible. The problem is sometimes if you make sujood, it was during rain, the mud water would flow. That is when people will do jam over in a salatin. Nobody will be doing karatu in that kind of a mosque when rain is falling. You say me, you will not do jamu. You will not say that. But now because people are building masjid like a skyscraper, that's why when there is rain now, they will not join Maghrib and Isha. They are building mosque like skyscraper. Who sent them? If they are praying in a masjid where rain is falling and the rain is entering the masjid, they will do that sooner. You think if you wanted to build a mosque with gold itself, you will not build it? There is a verse in Zukhruf around that. Is it Zukhruf? Oh, Shura. Towards the end of a Safha, on the right side. Now, لَجْعَلْنَا Zukhrufan. Pick the verse properly so that I can pick it up. لَجَعَلْنَا لِمَنْ يَكْفُرُ بِالرَّحْمَانِ لِبُيُوتِهِمْ سُحُفًا مِنْ فِضَّةٍ. You understand? But he didn't do that. وَمَعَارِجَ عَلَيْهَا يَظْهَرُونَ وَزُخْرُفَ وَلِبُيُوتِهِمْ أَبْوَابًا وَزُخْرُفَ. And you change Zukhruf. So you would have done that, but you didn't do it. So, our religion likes middle course in everything. Somebody is praying in the masjid, he's not praying, he's looking at the deity in the masjid. You see people in haram like that. They're looking up and down. No work for it. He's praying, you. So, I like the last question, inshallah.
It's meaningful that all the good ornaments, is it permissible for them to
Yes, it's permissible to sell it, like Fatima sold her own. They should sell it to anybody. Sell it, collect the money. It's not compulsory that they sell it as ring. If they sell it as ring, it's not compulsory that the person who will use it can use it as ring. And they too can go to the goldsmith to change it from the circular thing to a pendant or some other thing. It's a simple thing. We stop here, inshallah, today. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.